You're listening to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information. WRFG provides a voice for those who have been traditionally denied access to broadcast media through the involvement of a broad base of community elements to guarantee that access. In the utilization of the Foundation's facilities and in its programs, the following communities will receive first priority: those who continue to be denied free and open access to the broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, disability, sexual orientation, or immigrant status.
Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., its staff or volunteers. You are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information. And you are listening to Alternative Perspectives, the weekly program about the GLBTQI community, produced by Betty Couvetier. Alternative Perspective is about the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, and intersex community, informing about the issues that affect us and our allies, and the common humanity that connects us all.
Okay, hello, 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 hello. We have a little bit of static out there. It might be the weather. I apologize for that. Okay, but I hope that we are audible and comprehensible. You have a lot of stuff going on. Today's December the 8th, and 2 days is the anniversary again of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December the 10th. 1948, the United Nations General Assembly proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights for all people and all nations. In the UDHR, the United Nations stated in clear and simple terms rights that belong equally to every person. These rights belong to you. Familiarize yourself with them, help to promote and defend them. And I got my little copy of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights up at AmnestyUSA.com. And you look for the little thing that says human rights, and something will come up with that. Or you can just Google the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and you'll get a bunch of information. But you really need to read it. And it is in simple language. And it tells you all the things that you, as a human being, should have. Okay, and it's important to know at these times, okay, because we're in the midst of all this political stuff, okay, and in all that politics, we get buried somewhere, okay, and it's about the folks, it's about us, it's about our health care, our well-being, our jobs, you know, our families. Yeah, I mean, you can go right down the list in every area of your life, my life. We need to know what we, as human beings, are entitled to according to the laws. We're supposedly protected by laws, but sometimes they get neglected. Okay, and it's up to you. It's up to you to do that. We're going to we're going to have the This Way Out news wrap, because there is also some Atlanta news at the end of it. And then when we get back in a few minutes, Donna is in the studio with us, and we also have a special guest here is Diana Bagby from formerly from SOBO, and who used to join us weekly and give us the headlines. And we're gonna chat. We're just gonna chat about what's coming up, what's happening. There was a meeting for Save SOBO, town hall type of meeting on last Thursday. We'll chat a little bit about that. What came of that? There is a new name for the new newspaper that should be coming out at some point in the new year. Am I correct, Diana?
Correct.
Correct. All right. Right to the point. Okay. Yeah. So, and we'll talk about the name, and we'll talk about, and then we'll open the lines for you out there. If you have any comments, any questions, you'll be more than welcome to call in. And you can jot that number down now, which is 404-523-898 now. But after we start our discussion and after the news, we'll be doing that. Okay, so, and right now, we're going to go into the This Way Out.
I think truly there is a situation where human beings have no other reason but to be family. And that's the only word. It shouldn't depend on bloodline or on being straight and officially okayed by religion or by civil law. It is human beings making contact when it matters.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A judge aborts Argentina's first same-gender marriage. U.S. evangelicals inspire hateful Uganda laws, but a gay Asian Canadian writer loves extended families. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the 2 weeks ending December 5th, 2009. The gay couple who expected to marry in Buenos Aires this week became the victims of cold feet, but not theirs. Judge Marta Gomez Alsina overturned the mid-November decision of Judge Gabriela Cejas, who had ruled that denying marriage to Alejandro Freire and José María de Bello violated Argentina's constitution. In this week's ruling, Judge Alsina said the issue should be decided by the country's Supreme Court. The High Court was already considering a marriage equality case filed by another couple, and one of the justices, Carlos Feit, told reporters this week that they will issue a ruling in that case, although he provided no further details. Buenos Aires Mayor Mauricio Macri, who may be a presidential candidate in 2011, had welcomed the original decision. But he said this week that even though he supports the couple, Judge Alsina's ruling prevented him from legally authorizing the marriage. Freire and Di Bello, along with hundreds of supporters, demonstrated at the civil registry office for 3 hours, demanding that the couple be married. They vowed to continue the legal battle because, as Di Bello told the crowd, "We want everyone who loves each other to have the same rights." Both men are HIV positive, work in AIDS prevention organizations, and had purposely chosen December 1st, World AIDS Day, as the date of their wedding.
The United Nations Joint Program on HIV/AIDS, UNAIDS, released a statement on the 21st annual World AIDS Day, calling for countries to stop criminalizing LGBT people. It noted that 80 nations still outlaw gay sex, which, the statement said, not only violates human rights, but also undermines effective HIV prevention and treatment. According to the latest estimate from UNAIDS, there are 33 million people around the world now living with HIV. There were 2.7 million new infections in 2008 and 2 million deaths.
In an announcement that appeared to be a bold idea in HIV prevention, Chinese officials said this week that the government would open its first gay bar in Dali, a tourist town in the southwestern province of Yunnan, on World AIDS Day. They said it would provide a safe haven for gay men to congregate and get HIV/AIDS prevention information. The scheduled grand opening drew several journalists and photographers. Volunteers decided to delay the event because, not surprisingly, virtually no one would show up under the media glare. Shangjen Bo, founder of the group behind the initiative, told reporters that potential customers would be scared that their identity would be revealed, that it would lead to misunderstanding and changes in their lives.
But the International AIDS Society announced this week that the 19th International AIDS Conference has been scheduled in 2012 for Washington, D.C. It will be the first time since 1990 that the global meeting will be held in the United States. The last one was in San Francisco. The announcement followed the recent action by the Obama administration to rescind the long-standing U.S. travel and immigration ban on people living with HIV.
The World AIDS Day statement issued by UNAIDS also singled out Uganda for special attention. While same-gender sex is already outlawed in the East African nation, new legislation is likely to pass there that increases the penalty for consensual adult gay sex to life in prison, calls for death by hanging for offenders who are HIV positive, and jails people who voice support for LGBT rights or fail to report individuals in their communities whom they believe to be gay. Both British Prime Minister Gordon Brown and Canadian PM Stephen Harper have publicly condemned the draconian measures. Swedish officials threatened this week to pull the country's millions of dollars in aid to Uganda if the laws pass. The U.S. State Department has indirectly condemned the proposals, and Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams is said to be quietly lobbying the Ugandan government behind the scenes. There were reports this week describing strong links between a U.S. evangelical Christian political group known as The Family and the proposed legislation in Uganda. We'll have more about that in a special report following NewsWrap.
As we record this newscast, the dust has yet to settle down under over the Australian Capital Territory's passage of a measure to create legally binding same-gender civil union ceremonies. The federal government can overturn territorial legislation, as it did twice before when the ACT passed similar bills, claiming that each measure too closely mimicked marriage and contravened Australian law defining that institution as exclusively heterosexual. ACT Attorney General Simon Corbell has reportedly been negotiating some amendments to the current legislation with representatives of Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's Labor administration to make the measure acceptable to the federal government. But members of the Green Party, which sponsored the civil union law in the ACT legislature, have expressed a reluctance to approve what they fear will be a watered-down version of the bill. Meanwhile, thousands marched in support of marriage equality across Australia on November 28th, including large gatherings in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, the ACT, Adelaide, and Lismore. They were also protesting the conclusions of the long-awaited report by a Senate committee of inquiry that had solicited public comment about a proposed federal same-gender marriage bill. The committee recommended against its passage.
Elsewhere, the Irish Parliament opened debate this week on a bill to grant limited but significant rights to same-gender couples. While it's in many ways historic for the socially conservative, heavily Roman Catholic country, critics complain that the civil partnership bill would create a second-class status for gay and lesbian relationships and deny them important rights given to heterosexual married couples, especially in family law.
The New York State Senate defeated a marriage equality bill this week by an unexpectedly wide margin. The vote was 24 in favor and 38 against, with 8 Democrats joining all of the Republicans to defeat the measure. "Promises made were not honored," said the bill's author, Senator Tom Duane. "The LGBT community and all fair-minded New Yorkers have been betrayed," the Manhattan Democrat added. "I am enraged, deeply disappointed, and profoundly saddened by the vote." The bill passed the Assembly earlier this year. Governor David Paterson, a strong advocate for LGBT rights, had said he wanted to sign a marriage equality bill into law. Demonstrations have been held to protest the vote. Angry bloggers are also urging that Democrats who voted against marriage equality be targeted for defeat in the 2010 elections.
But the Washington, D.C. City Council, as expected, overwhelmingly approved a marriage equality bill this week in the first of 2 votes. Only 2 council members voted against the measure, Marion Barry and Yvette Alexander, while 11 were in favor. A second and final vote is scheduled later this month, and Mayor Adrian Fenty has promised to sign the measure into law. Federal lawmakers have oversight on district legislation, however, and it's uncertain if congressional Republicans will try to overturn the law.
listing debts in the millions and no assets, Window Media and Unite Media, the parent companies of five U.S. LGBT publications, filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in late November. Window owned and operated the Washington Blade and the Atlanta, Georgia-based Southern Voice, two of the nation's oldest and most prestigious LGBT newspapers. Unite owned and operated two gay publications in Florida and one in Atlanta. The offices of all five were shuttered without prior notice to employees on November 16th. The Avalon Equity Fund, a small business investment company that was licensed by the Federal Small Business Administration in 2000, owned both businesses. It had borrowed $39 million from the SBA since then and was forced into receivership last year after it violated its contract with the agency. Claims and counterclaims by company executives, employees, and the openly gay owner of a Virginia newspaper chain who said he'd offered to buy at least one of the newspapers, along with seemingly conflicting statements from the SBA, have clouded a full explanation of what happened prior to the bankruptcy declaration. Staff at the Washington Blade vowed to keep the paper's 40-year-old legacy alive in a reborn publication. They issued the first edition of their D.C. agenda last week. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported last week that a foundation has offered a matching grant to help create a new publication to succeed the Southern Voice.
Three queer candidates made U.S. electoral history this week. Simone Bell won a runoff to represent an Atlanta district in the Georgia State Assembly, becoming the country's first openly lesbian African-American state legislator. Atlanta voters also elected Alex Wan as the first gay man and first Asian-American to serve on the city council. And 26-year-old Evan Lowe was elected by his fellow city council members in the Northern California town of Campbell, a suburb of San Jose, to become one of the few openly gay and one of the youngest Asian American mayors in the country.
And finally, queer actor Alan Cumming and activist Ben Summerskill, who leads the UK's LGBT advocacy group Stonewall, were each named an Officer of the Order of the British Empire last week by Princess Anne in ceremonies at Buckingham Palace. The OBE is one step below knighthood, so they can't be referred to as Sir. But Summerskill told reporters that, "I meet a lot of queens every day, so it was a nice change to meet a princess."
That's News Wrap for the 2 weeks ending December 5th, 2009, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Gay Asian Canadian writer.
Okay, we're back. And that was the news. And then two pieces of news that is just happening in a vote, in a 7-6 vote, New Jersey Senate panel approved legislation that would legalize same-sex marriage. And there will be a floor vote next week. This just happened yesterday. And then in on the D.C. agenda, I read that the Lambda Rising, the bookstore serving the GLBT community in the nation's capital for 35 years, is closing.
What?
It stories on DuPont Circle, and it's been, I guess, a piece of history there for the GLBT community. Don't get excited.
I'm very distressed by that news.
And along with their out-of-town store in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And both will be closing officially in January. Yeah, but people are a little surprised about that, I guess. Yeah, Diana here, you know, lost her mic in the excitement, you know. Donna expressed sadness. So, the reactions here. Right? And that news wrap, you heard about what's, you know, been happening here locally. At the Save Sovo, we have additional stuff to talk about, and plus the elections and our GLBT victories. So that is all. That part is a good thing. And we have the Save Sovo update from Diana. What you got for us?
I was just going to say that many people showed up at last week's meeting.
Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. About 80 people, I'd say.
Okay.
And a new voice, a new name for the paper and website was voted on, and it's the Georgia Voice, mm-hmm. overwhelmingly picked by the community who was at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And Chris Cash and Laura Douglas Brown, who are spearheading this whole effort, you know, laid out a plan for what they hope to be happening. And
yeah, and to say who Chris Cash was, Chris Cash was the original founder, owner of Silver Voice, the
Southern Voice, Southern yes. Voice,
and yeah. she has sold it to Windows,
right.
About 20 years ago or so.
Maybe not 20 years.
Maybe not quite that.
Not
long.
Quite. Not, okay.
It's
not
like 1996 or something.
Okay, 1996.
She started the paper 21 years. Yeah. 21 years.
Oh, 21 years ago. Okay. Yeah. So she started, and then about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, somewhere around there, she sold it. Okay, and she is back in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
And Laura is the former editor of Slovo here in Atlanta. You know,
correct.
So the listeners out there know the employees of Slovo have. Gathered up, and they have, you know, moving forward. They're not looking back. They're just moving forward, and they, you know, they're struggling. Yes, some of them, but you know, they're doing what needs to be done to get this stuff back out there to you. Okay, and that's something that we need to admire, and we need to say, you know, thank you for you know the interest and for the devotion and commitment to the community. That's it's you know it's a good thing, but yes, we were at the meeting. Donna and I were there on Thursday.
Very glad to see you. Thank you so much for your support, and thanks for inviting me to be
here. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You've been a part. Yeah, you've been a part of this show. It's like almost from the beginning, reporting to us. You know, and it's a great relationship, I think, and I hope we can continue in the new,
absolutely,
you know, with the new Georgia Voice. And alternative perspectives. I hope that we can continue getting the news out there to the folks and you know things that folks need to know. And so, anything else happening? Anything?
Well, right now, donations are still being sought.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure that you know the vision is still for a community-owned, community-led LGBT. Queer news mm-hmm. outlet that follows the same professional standards to which all ethical journalists mm-hmm. aspire. I mean, mm-hmm. that you know, that's what we had at Slovo. Mm-hmm. That's what we intend and will have at the or will be happening at the new Georgia Voice. And I think that's an important mm-hmm. void to fill.
Right, and inclusivity and diversity being a part of all.
And those were several suggestions mm-hmm. and points that were made mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. obviously need to be addressed. I know when I worked there, you know, with Laura and Matt and Ryan and everyone else, that we did try to make a special effort to be as inclusive as possible and write mm-hmm. it about. Mm-hmm. as many diverse issues, and that's, I know, something that will obviously be an intentional part of the mission of the Georgia Voice as well.
Okay. That's okay. That's
good. And I think the difference is, with it being a community paper, it's not that that we're not going to, in other words, you won't report on some things and not other things because it's a community paper. It's a community paper because you're not going to be owned by a corporation, correct?
Correct.
And you're not going to be beholden to any kind of corporate viewpoint mm-hmm. saying, yes, you can report on this, no, you can't report on that.
Right.
So we'll definitely have, kind of going back to the roots.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what people are saying. It seems like the way Slovo was when it originated, and I wasn't around for that, but that sounds like
independent media.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to let the listeners know, especially if they weren't at the meeting last week, was someone posed the question, why not consider becoming a nonprofit organization?
Yeah.
And Chris Cash, you know, said, well, one of the main problems with that is the newspaper would not be able to endorse any candidates.
Right.
And that's
and they wouldn't be able to campaign in any way. Yes, it's just like
right.
WRFG. We're a 501c3, and we cannot
right.
campaign for political candidates or any kind of, you know, legislation.
Yeah,
and stuff like
and
that.
And when you're looking at a news organization, as Georgia Voice is you know, going to be, that's critical.
Right.
I mean, I know I always looked forward to the – the guide that was published in Southern Voice, when, you know, I would take it with me into the polls, and basically that, you know, you guys had done the homework for me. You know,
right.
I could
right.
be the lazy voter.
Yeah, we could
and
talk about,
up.
You know, here what we could do is we talk about the issues.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And those things that are paramount in people's minds and whatnot, and how the folks that are running for office are going to deal with those kind of things, but never saying, you know, one way or the other. As far as the voting type thing.
Right, and that's what's, I mean, it's wonderful for, through alternative perspectives, to be able to put the opinions out there to folks, and then folks can make their own decisions.
Yeah, they can make up their mind. We
and
don't,
then,
we try not to influence them as saying,
exactly.
we this is what we're doing, you know what I mean? But we say, here are the issues.
Right.
Now you deal with them.
Right.
Yeah, so
The Georgia Voice can, you know, take it a step further
right.
and actually...
Yeah, we want to tell you what to do.
Right. Exactly.
I'm kidding. Well, no, but I mean, it's really helpful because...
No, but it's helpful when you have
candidates.
The information because, I mean, that you know, one
exactly.
person can't look up everything about every candidate that's out there
right.
and trying to figure out, okay, so who do I vote for? Who is the most beneficial one? Who is going to, you know, address the issues the way that I want them to, you know? So it's you know, it's hard to get all that information.
And one point that I'll make is just in this most recent mayoral election, you know, between Kasim and Mary, with the gay vote apparently playing, you know, some kind of role.
Right.
And people were asking us if we were going to endorse in the runoff. And I think we had plans to do so at Southern Voice, you know, but of course we didn't get a chance to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we had interviewed the candidates and talked to them about specific concerns we had, and
I mean, that's critical because we certainly don't.
And
we,
I don't know if it would have swayed anything, but
right.
at least it would have been, you know, it could have been out there, and
right.
we could have done a lot of more. You know, we had done some research on these candidates and
the candidates.
And you get the access, you know, whereas
right.
the regular John or Jane Q. citizen of Atlanta does not have that kind of access to the candidates.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we rely on that.
Yeah.
But the meeting was well run. It was great to see so many of the former SOVO staffers there. You guys are just hanging tough and hanging together.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
cool to see a lot of the leadership in Atlanta, some of the folks that have, you know, been in the trenches for years, and like I was
right.
saying to Diana, and also a lot of new people. I mean, you know, when something like this happens in our community where we feel like an injustice has been done, we do pull together.
We do
as a
pull together, yeah.
And we wanna help each other out.
Right,
so.
But you know, the transgender folks were there on Thursday.
Everybody.
The church
it
was there.
A good representation.
Yeah. The churches were there from different denominations and whatnot, you know. It was an interesting meeting. It was quite interesting to watch and listen, and you know, it was it was good information.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
So is there, have y'all determined, Diana, is there kind of a date to which y'all are working towards, or?
I don't know of a date yet, a specific date. I think Laura said at the meeting sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Right, but readiness is the number one key.
Right.
The key word is readiness, and be ready to do it, you know, and be... properly funded and all that other kind of stuff so that, you know, you don't get into the hardship part after you're opening the doors, you know, which makes sense to me, you know, so it's a good strategy, I think, you know, to not to have to rush it, you know, just so they can say you're out there, but to do it well so it's self-sustaining.
You know, it's really interesting because back in 1982, I think was it started? The paper, I can't remember. I moved to Atlanta in 85, and I think I was aware of the paper being around then. I think the paper got started before I moved here. Anyhow, neither here nor there. But I got to know Chris Cash and Lee Vanderels, the founders of the paper, when I was working with Atlanta Pride. And, you know, I got to talk to Chris a little bit after the meeting, and we were just talking about how it's so different, the strategy now, to start the paper up. As opposed to when it was back then. I mean, back then, there was no internet. You know, there were no emails. People didn't have cell phones that you can call long distance for free. I mean, it's a whole different strategy now, a whole different technology.
Yeah.
The outreach, you know, that's why I think it was so great to pick the name Georgia Voice, because it is more than Atlanta. It is, you know, it for so long has been the voice of the Southeast, and I think Atlanta really still represents the southeastern LGBTQI community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've made history again in the elections with Simone Bell and Alex Juan. So we're kind of at the forefront of paving the way for the other states, you know, in our vicinity and everything like that. But the reach of the paper now can be even more broad,
right,
than I think Chris or Lee ever envisioned it back in the early 80s when they were starting it. So I just felt from Chris that kind of newfound energy, you know,
yeah.
And
because
I mean it's
it's so important to, you know, to do it right, you know, because it's in this time in 2010 it's going to be such an important year for us as GLBT folks, you know. There's so much coming down the pike, you know.
Well, and as we were all talking tonight, it's just, it feels so weird not to have our paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, yeah. There's no place to. I mean, locally. I mean, I always read the local stuff. So when I come on Tuesday night, I can sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
At least I got some information. You know, it's like, but I have no source now. And when I go to other websites, I mean, they're not exclusive to Atlanta.
Exactly.
You know. And you're not getting, unless it was a big, 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 big story, somebody got killed or something like that, you know.
Right.
It's not in those other papers. You get the national news, you get the international news, but we don't know what's happening here.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's quite a disconnect for me, you know, when it comes to me Monday and I'm trying to find out the latest stuff that's happened here,
mm-hmm.
and what the updates are and, you know, who's doing what and when it's going to happen and so forth and so on. Like the Eagle stuff, I mean, you know, that's still an ongoing thing.
Right.
There's nothing... There's
nobody
else is going to write about it, you know, unless something, you know, drastic happens overnight or something. Then the AP will pick it up or whoever picks it up and report it to whatever, you know. But, I mean, there are ongoing things and there's, I have no way of finding out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my former boss, Matt Henney, does have Project Q. And,
okay.
And they do some local news.
Some local news.
Yeah,
yeah, well, I'm going to have to get used to doing...
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I mean, this is no slam against Matt or Project Q, and,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
Any form of media
is really, really appreciated when it comes to the GLBT community.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, I think there's two folks. It's Matt and
exactly.
Mike.
That's,
is it Mike
right.
Fleming that's
yes.
working with him now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just two people. You know, we're it was a staff of, 20, 30 people at Southern Voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... I mean, it's that. So the magnitude of what Project Q is able to cover versus what Southern,
mm-hmm.
former Southern Voice, now soon to be Georgia Voice, will be able to cover is slightly different. But you know, Project Q was coming into its own already,
mm-hmm.
and kind of stepped up there to start filling the gap. And it's definitely very good. Matt's an excellent writer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's great, and I certainly encourage.
And he's always at all the events and stuff.
Him.
You know,
yeah,
taking
exactly.
pictures and whatnot. You always run into
so
yeah.
Tall.
He's tall. Yeah. He's the head above everybody else. You know,
exactly.
Matt's in the house.
if you've gotten separated from somebody, just ask Matt. He can
yeah.
look over it.
Yeah.
Help you find it.
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, but he's such a lovely.
6'8".
Yeah, 6'8"?
6'8".
My goodness.
Smokes.
Lord have mercy.
So
no wonder my head goes back every time I talk with him.
You got a kink in your neck.
Yeah.
How are you and the rest of the staff kind of hanging in? I mean, you know, timing of all this around the holidays. to be employed and then unemployed really quickly. How's everybody hanging?
I think I'm doing okay. I've been sleeping a lot. I don't know if that's appropriate. everyone wants to know how's the job search going, and just like everyone else out there who, I mean, there's so many people who are unemployed right
still
now.
Still looking.
You know, and definitely.
Mm.
And opportunities are out there to write, but you just don't get paid these days. So, which I should obviously be taking the offer up anyway, because it's, you know, but I've taken a break from writing personally.
Yeah.
I know that's probably not the good thing to do because there are so many good stories going on, but, I'm ready to start writing again. And I mean, I know I can anyway for whatever, But I just have an affinity for Georgia voice. This is where I really found my voice, is when I moved here and, you know, would pick up Southern Voice and read it. I was had just newly come out, kind of. I mean, I moved from a small town to the big city. Mm-hmm. And
from another town in Georgia?
From Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I remember when it was a big fat 76 pages or 80 pages and stuff. And, you know, just having it there to read and find out what was going on in the city that I lived in now. And I know that I've heard stories from so many other people how a newspaper was like that for them as well. To have, you know, when they come from somewhere else or from a smaller town or something like that.
It's a lifeline.
You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right, when you come from New York, when I got down here in 95, I didn't discover the silver, but I probably wasn't until 96, 97. It must have been when the transition was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I just saw this paper, and I said, oh, look at this. Mm-hmm. It's a paper about us. Uh-huh. The story's about us. Look. And I was like, I was just so excited about it, because it was like, okay, you can keep in touch, you know, before I really became familiar with Atlanta and the GLBT community itself, you know. Mm-hmm. But, because, I mean, I didn't become active in it until, like, 2001 or so. Mm-hmm. You know, Atlanta Pride being my first, you know, attempt.
Right.
And, yeah, but it certainly is, even when you come from a big city like New York, you know, it's still a lifeline to your community, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it helped break down a lot of barriers, too. I mean, when you think about, you know, the advertisers, I mean, there was major advertisers in the paper. And in the early days, I'm sure they took a risk, you know, to advertise in a gay paper. But then they saw that, you know, it was a very profitable thing for them to do.
Right.
And it paved the way for other people to support. And so it broke down a lot of barriers, even in that kind of a more second or third, you know, way of doing it.
Right. But even the advertising, I said, I mean, all these real estate agents are gay? You know, I used to ask that question.
Yeah,
but I mean, not necessarily, though, you know. And later on I realized, but then as I got to know the community, and you can identify from their pictures who was and who wasn't, you know. But it was, like, surprising to me to see, you know, so many big companies and car dealerships and restaurants and all of that, you know, catering to the GLBT community. You know, it was quite, you know, for me, it was quite astonishing at that time.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and just to talk a little bit about just the news media in general, there's so many ways to get it, and having to come up with a business model that is successful really hasn't been even, you know, I think, who's laying off a major newspaper? I don't know if it's the LA Times is having to lay off even more people. And of course, the AJC has gone through its troubles. And and some people question, you know, the need for print. And even though I don't consider myself that old, I think that a print publication, even if it's just a couple weeks, every couple weeks or something like that, is crucial, as well as getting information on the line. I know when I read something in the newspaper, I tend to read the whole story and will read more, but when I'm online, I'll just skim and read headlines. And I don't know. I mean, maybe most people don't do that. But
I think the internet is like, we're supposed to do it fast.
Yeah.
I mean, supposed to read fast, get the clip, and you know, and move on to the next thing. The newspaper,
you can
open it up, relax it down, you know,
right,
and you can actually get into the story.
Well, I wonder if the power of the internet, though, you know, isn't the downfall of things like Lambda Rising, the bookstore. Isn't that what it was called?
Yeah, Lambda Rising.
In D.C.
That's
closing its doors.
That's closing.
I mean, you know, we have, fortunately, we still have Outright and Karis here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was in D.C. back in July for a conference, and I made it a point to go down to DuPont Circle and to go into the bookstore, and the bookstore was hopping. This was only like 7 o'clock at night on Wednesday evening or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was yet another gathering place, another community gathering place, you know? And so it serves a purpose.
Right.
But if people just go in there and, you know, I've seen them do this outright too, plop down with their computers and spend all day there and maybe don't even bother to buy a cup of coffee or thumb through the books and don't buy anything. I mean, you can't just walk
support.
In.
Yeah, support. Yeah, you have to support what, you know, you have.
Yeah.
You know, if it's in your community and stuff, of course. But, yeah, you know, I just wonder if it's, you know, like I start, you know, my head starts going around, and when things like that happen, and I ask myself, is it the economy that did it, or is there another agenda behind these things that, you know, because there's so many things going on politically and, you know, trying to hush us down, you know, and a lot of it is going unnoticed because we're keyed into, you know, looking at other things, but they're doing things behind the scenes, you know, to, you know, hush us up.
Well, I do know that the markup, the margins, the profitable margins on books is not that great.
Not that great.
So when you think about all the competition now online.
Yeah, people are buying, yeah.
And I think folks don't, they just don't realize that, oh, if I buy a book from an online distributor versus from my local LGBT bookstore, that has an impact, because they think, well, I'm just one person, I'll only make one, but, you know, multiple.
Right,
but
multiple times, yeah, but, you know, yeah, but, and online, you know, it may be less expensive sometimes than going to the bookstore, and the people might be influenced by that, you know, they might be able to because they don't have the overhead, you know, it's all electronic, you know, they just press the button, it gets shipped out, you know what I mean? And so they may be able. And then they say, well, I'm saving X amount.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, you have to think about the other thing. It's a place, like you said, for gathering. It's a place for communicating. Yeah. It's a place where you can share information. It's a place, you know, and we have to keep these things in mind, especially in these times.
Mm-hmm. And both of our bookstores always are doing community events.
Right.
You know,
Right. Outrunning Carriage. Yeah. They're very involved with the community and all the different organizations that, you know, use their space for that communication thing. And
they're
gathering.
Very much a gathering space for the under 21 group who, you know, they can't get into the bars, obviously.
Right.
You know, but it's a nice place to meet and hang out with friends.
Have a cup of coffee
like
or something. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of bars, I think I read that the Atlanta City Council is going to consider moving the bar time, closing time back to 4 o'clock
to 4
in the morning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they made such a horrendous mistake when they
yeah.
made the closings at 2 o'clock that now they're coming back to their senses. Geez, we need money. If the
and they say, we can make all that extra stuff there. Yeah.
Duh.
But, yeah, well, you know, it's we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going on. I haven't heard any more about moving the bars downtown, you know, to the underground and stuff. At one point, the thing about moving all the bars down there or something. So they
kill underground.
Kill it.
Kill it.
Okay.
Just seal it up. Seal
it up.
Kill it.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
It doesn't work.
You know, I thought, like last year, the year before me, there was a lot of conversation about that, you know.
Right.
And you know, closing stuff down in Midtown and stuff like that, and sending them all down to the underground, because down there they have more control, because it's in, you know, one specific area.
That's a darn
area.
Scary thought.
Yeah,
one armed knucklehead in underground Atlanta can do a lot of damage. That's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't think they think that way when they think up these bright ideas.
No.
No, I don't think they even consider the safety of the folks.
I'm hoping a lot of these knuckleheads are going to, you know, leave with the new mayor coming in, because I'll be there with a brim. I'll help clean up. There's a few of them I wouldn't mind getting rid of.
Well, I hope the mindset of the administration, whoever and whatever, and, you know, I hope the mindset changes to the importance of considering the people who live in Atlanta and taking care of the people, okay, and doing those things that are necessary, you know, instead of lining their pockets and stuff, like it seems to be like every administration does for some reason, okay? And somebody was talking to me the other day, and they called me, I think Dr. Penny Brown, and she's somebody I met through Adam Shapiro in the current events, and she called me at home, and we just talking. And she said, well, you know, we've had all these mayors that, you know, she went all the way back to Jackson, I guess, and then to Bill Campbell, who wound up in jail, and, you know, all the stuff and corruption that has existed in the administration here in Atlanta. And she'd been around for a long time, okay, so she knows it all. And she was being, you know, very critical about it. And she said, you know, I mean, are they going to get out of that? I mean, it's like, you know, they need to take care of the people. Stop taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and until we get to that point, and that's locally, and it's, you know, statewide and nationally, people, you know, who get elected need to remember why they got elected, you know, mm-hmm. and the promises that they make to people, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you get elected, then you forget, you know, and it's, okay, so how much money am I going to make and put in my pocket before I retire, you know, it's like, hey, you get elected to protect the people and yeah. to administer and to legislate and to make laws that are for the people. And, you know, I was talking to Becky the other day on the phone, and you know, she kept talking to me about stuff, and I kept going back to we the people,
yeah.
we the people, you know, because it was like, you know, when are we the people going to take on that responsibility of being vocal and holding people accountable who get elected? We the people are in charge. Get the message, folks. We are in charge.
Well, again, the onus becomes on us as the citizens to hold the politicians accountable, mm-hmm. you know, to make it to those
right.
meetings. I mean, you can mm-hmm. go sit in,
but
on
that's
the
what
sessions.
Reporters can do also.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
We can go to the meetings
yes,
for you.
For you. That's right. And right. then you have the newspaper yeah. to report it in, and you get the
right.
newspaper and you read it. You know what I mean?
Yep. We can but, sit through the 4-hour boring meetings
yep.
for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it's I know that, you know, right here, you know, for this show, for Alternative Perspective, I mean, we have, you know, Donna, you know, I appreciate her presence here. Becky, I appreciate her presence. Diana, I always appreciated you calling in and letting me know, you know, and let the listeners know what the headlines were for the local stuff, you know. It's great to have folks who are dedicated and committed to spread that word, to get the knowledge out to the folks and the information that they need, you know. But we need more of you. We need, you know, I'm putting the word out. We yeah. need some investigative reporters for Alternative Perspective. So if you are willing,
and
it's all volunteer. This is not a paid job. We are all volunteers here at WRFG, and we produce our shows. We support our shows as far as getting the materials that we need, our headphones, our CDs, you know, for recording of the show. We do our podcast on our own, even if we don't know computer, we figure it out, you know, it's like, yeah, but because we all here at WRFG have a dedication, and whatever that news is that we're trying to get out there, whether it's GLBT or whether it's music of a certain kind, or whether it's, you know, public affairs or any information source, I mean, it's a passion for getting that news out to the public, because we need to have it in its true form, you know, and transparent,
unbiased. Yeah.
Yep. This is independent media. This is not CNN. This is not, you know, all the other channels that have an agenda, okay, and they have to report it a certain way because they have sponsors and, you know, they're corporate and so forth and so on. No, we tell it to you like it is. We try to bring the folks who are involved in the actual story making so that you can get the story from those who are actually being affected by it, or part of the solutions or the strategies or whatever it is. We try to bring you that so that you can get the truth and you can get the whole story, and then, you know, you can go and decide on that information, and if it comes to, you know, elections and all that kind of stuff, you can make up your own mind. But we need more volunteers, you know, in all these areas and in all these, you know, places where it's to give information to the citizens, to the people. We, the people. You have to keep repeating that to yourself, mm-hmm. because after you repeat it to yourself a couple of times, you start saying, ask yourself, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? We, the people. Mm-hmm. You know, it says that we decide how things are supposed to go. That's why they have the whole thing of elections, that we're supposed to elect people who are going to listen to us, the constituents, and do the things that we ask them to do. okay? And that's not the way it usually happens, unfortunately. And because we lay back after we, you know, we vote, we get them in there, and we entrust them with our lives. And then they make decisions that affect us every day of our lives, and sometimes it's not very positive. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to really, really, really be alert, and we have to keep our finger on that, you know, either whether it's a click on the computer or that telephone number to their offices, or, you know, and somehow, you know, let them know that we are not going to sit by and be unheard. You know, this is the most important thing. I mean, and things are changing so quickly. I mean, 2010. I mean, I can't even begin to, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. You know, we have, I was reading something today about, this is the year coming in that we stand the most, for the GLBT community, I'm speaking specifically now, that we stand the most, nationally speaking, that it's a time when we stand to make the most advances in Congress, in bills being passed, and our rights being given to us. But it's not enough to say that. Mm-hmm. And to know that we have people, you know, that are GLBT in Congress who are pushing for it, they need our support in order to get that stuff done. Mm-hmm. Okay? We just can't leave it up to them. You know?
Well, they'll continue to play the same old tricks.
Right. Like the tweaking.
Well,
like, the end
of. Yeah, Dr. Jillian was talking about, yeah, on your show, yeah, 2 weeks ago or last week, whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't recall. Yeah, I mean, something as simple as calling for the special session to finish the markup. That's mm-hmm. it, the markup session.
And the markup,
yeah, for ENDA.
It was called, the markup was suspended in order to figure out how to tweak the tweak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
just a BS stall tactic.
Yeah, I mean, right. And now, what I read today in that article was that it seems that it's not going to happen until 2010. This is what our Baldwin and Polis, they were mm-hmm. speaking out in mm-hmm. California, and they said that the best chance we have of that ever passing will be in 2010.
Mm-hmm. It just seems remarkable, doesn't it?
It's
a basic 19, get fired for being who you are.
1974. You know, the first end that came out in 1974, they're still trying to get one passed.
Well, I'm going to date myself here. I remember when ERA was trying to, Equal Rights Amendment for Women, was trying to get passed. You know what? It never passed.
You're correct.
It never passed.
It never did.
And whatever rights women got, they're trying to push that back with the abortion issue.
Well, right. Let's not even
and take our. Are you right? Let's not march down that road, because we'll be here another hour. We don't have another hour. You know what I mean? More. But what is happening? You know, what is happening? We have
it's politics.
Ask ourselves. Yes, politics, but it's like.
It is just politics, but I think, you know, it's a brilliant tactic. It's they beat you down and beat you down and beat you down so much that you just lose energy.
Yeah.
And interest. You know,
so you just say, never mind, let them do what they want.
Yeah, I was pretty hopeful and fired up about about healthcare and about maybe finally there was going to be able to be a possibility of healthcare mm-hmm, for mm-hmm, all. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, F it. I know you can't cuss on the
No, you can't do that. No.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, but now it's
whatever.
Yeah, but now, I mean, on the news today, it's like they're going to do away with the public option, most definitely, so they said, probably, mm-hmm. in order, they changed the wording, and they have, I think it was 12 Democrats.
This whole thing has been.
They were trying to get the public option included. Now they want to take that language out and put new language in that was submitted by another bunch of Democrats to give Medicare to those 55 and up mm-hmm. as an alternative to the public option.
Medicare is a public option.
I know, but it's until 65.
It's
you have to be 65.
Oh, they want.
They're going to lower it to 55.
Well, it's a start.
It's a start. Mm-hmm. And that would sort of kind of satisfy the liberals mm-hmm. who want the public option, and also satisfy the conservative Democrats mm-hmm. who don't want the public option.
Well, it's also going to satisfy one of the hugest populations, the baby boomers, that are mm-hmm. coming into that
yeah.
mm-hmm. whole That's need true. For yeah. the Medicare. Mm-hmm. You know,
but they should have done this 70 years ago, and I would have been eligible well, 7 years ago.
Know.
You know what I mean?
As, no. As we try to solve the world's problems.
As we try to solve the world's problems, right, in 1 hour, you know. But, you know, we try. The thing is to get the information out to the folks. Diana, is there anything that you want to say to the people out there? Is there anything that you, in particular, you know, as far as anything that's happening out there that you want to report on or... anything that, you know, you said, oh, I got to mention this before you came in.
You know, everything slows down kind of during the holidays. I do want to say that I'm really thrilled with Alex Wan's and Simone Bell's victories. Mm-hmm. And to hope and think that this is incredible, you know, for all of us, not just us in the, you know, queer community, but for everyone to have these openly gay people in high positions and, you know, recognizable positions, and hopefully, you know, further, I don't know, let people know that we're okay. Is that a bad thing to say?
Yeah.
But, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how they work,
mm-hmm.
In January when their terms come up and mm-hmm. they start working, actually getting to work. I mean, I know they've been working for several months on the campaign, and now then, as I was at the Alex Wan victory party, and he says now the real work begins.
That's right.
The real work begins. Sure. That's
right.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I really. You know, that would have been a cover story, I'm pretty sure, because I...
Oh, that would have been front page, victory night, and all the celebrations. I remember other years when, you know, we had, it was like, you know, a big, you know, whatever victories we had and mm-hmm. stuff, it was right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always right there with the news and whatnot.
And with whoever becomes mayor, now that there's a recount.
Is there still a recount going on?
It's been certified, but she asked for a recount today.
For a recount.
Oh, mm-hmm. Which she had until 5 o'clock today.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Okay.
So it'll be done shortly. Mm-hmm. I guess the end of the week. Mm-hmm. But and they're both pro equality. I know Kasim isn't pro marriage equality, but both have you know records of supporting us. And
right.
So
right.
I mean, and I think that's historic also mm-hmm. to have. I know Shirley Franklin catered to us and ended up abandoning us in the end, as many would say.
As a few others have.
and I think it was interesting that both Kasim Reed, if he is in fact the mayor, and then Cesar Mitchell as the city council
mm-hmm,
president.
Exactly.
The gay vote definitely was taken under consideration.
Yes. For both, yeah.
Yeah,
both,
I mean,
yeah.
They actually, mm-hmm. you know, they recruited and had people on their team, their election
right.
teams,
right. Yeah.
To court yeah. the gay vote.
Right.
And
Cesar was on this program twice, you know,
yeah.
and we talked about the issues, you
right.
know, mm-hmm. You know. And he was very, very receptive to the GLBT agenda.
You know. And so, I mean, I think it's becoming part of the mainstream to include us mm-hmm. in politics here in Atlanta, which I think
mm-hmm.
is a major,
mm-hmm.
could be a major step,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously a major step forward.
Right.
I mean, where we become just, you know, obviously we're a demographic, but
mm-hmm.
we're not a shunned demographic as much,
right.
perhaps,
mm-hmm.
by... most people.
Well, it's a lot. We've come a long way. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Campbell, I remember he had Phil McDonald on his staff, and
uh-huh.
Phil McDonald was sort of the pseudo liaison to the gay community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Uh-huh.
And it was totally a pseudo position because Phil McDonald happened to be a gay man working
mm-hmm.
for the
mm-hmm.
mayor. You know,
mm-hmm.
and now we have openly gay candidates in office, you know, candidates running for office that are courting our vote. So, yes, it's
mm-hmm.
it's huge. I mean,
right.
we definitely have made progress. But like you say, Betty, we got to continue to
mm-hmm. yeah, we have to hold your feet to the fire. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
The promises are great. You know, the
exactly.
conversation is great. But
exactly.
what is it that you're going to do in
yeah,
actuality
to
improve my state of being?
Yep.
You know, so
we don't want to just be a trendy demographic. We want
that's right.
to,
right.
you know.
Yeah, don't make me promises when you want me, my vote, you know. Make sure that you know, when it comes next time, after you get in for the first time, that you can say to me, this is what I did.
Well, improve my quality of life. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yep. Anyway, all right. Another Tuesday night is coming to a close, and I want to thank Diana. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And Donna.
You guys
Donna,
are awesome.
As always.
Two of my favorite people in Atlanta.
All righty now. Get cake. Cool beans. Cool beans. Becky, I hope if you're listening that you're feeling better. All right. And you have that chicken soup. Sorry that you are sick. We missed you here tonight. Okay, until next week, say good night and buenas noches.